Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
JT's Intercontinental SC Report Tour continues. Last week was Cairns, lofty heights of the far north, and now I'm in Dolby, Western Queensland, the Plainlands, and I'm joined by a fellow Western Queenslandian, Stilesy, for the second time in a row. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, good, mate. You are just down the road from me, so we definitely should have teed something up at the halfway point like we were talking about just off air a moment ago.
Yeah, what's that chinchilla festival in the middle of Queensland here? What, it's the tomato one or something like that?
Melon festival, I think. Watermelon.
There you go. Well, there's a SC Report excursion for next year. But no, how are you doing? How's your Supercoach side faring? We were talking last week, 20Ks, you and I.
Yeah, low 20Ks. Had a bit of a green arrow, so I think I'm 17,000 and something at the moment. So heading in the right direction.
Very good. Trending upwards, mate. And that's the story for me as well. I think I've got 3K spike to around the 21K mark. I think I'm actually doing better in AFL Supercoach than I am in this. And you know how much I hate AFL and I've no idea what's going on. But following the crowd, you know how you see at the bottom, you know, most traded in, not in my team, out of my team, all that kind of stuff? Just follow that. Just follow that. Follow the crowd. You can't go wrong. Do you reckon the same for NRL?
Well, that's the Wenin and Kirkup approach of the last couple of seasons, and they've had pretty much personal best. So I think there's a big case you can make for that approach.
Mate, switch off and you'll never go wrong. Speaking of switching off, actually, I think I told you last week I was going to be on a flight back from Cairns at about Sunday, 6 o'clock, had no Wi-Fi at all, finally landed on the ground, flicked the phone open. It was like 5 minutes to go Cowboys and Dogs, 14:10. I'm going, could I not have just waited 15 minutes longer? And then, of course, all that rubbish about Matt Bird and everything that happened. Switching off, mate, not just Supercoach, but NRL. Oh, boy. Although you're on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, nothing too much to do out at Rome. So I got to see most of the round again. Look, you probably would have wanted to miss the end of that game, to be honest. Mm. Once Preston unlodged his hand from Kingy's eye socket, he busted out a try near the end, and then Foxy getting the leveler. So crazy times. It was a weird round. There was like a couple of blowouts and a draw and a 1 and 2 pointer. It was all over the joint.
I was going to say, how good's the rugby league been? I mean, in terms of like matchup plays, we used to speak about it all the time, and maybe it's just the first few round kind of things, but it's hard to pick a game out and out where you just think one side's going to absolutely steamroll the other. Like, it's been probably like no other. Like, you know, you'd normally look at a team like the Warriors, Titans, Dragons, all of that, but just on their day this year, it's been impossible to pick.
Just on the Warriors, did you see Sean Johnson's post-match interview with Fox?
I saw he not all, almost in tears or something like that, but it was an emotional one. I think I was boarding the plane at that point.
Oh, no, it wasn't an emotional one. Do yourself a favor and track it down. He's dropping F-bombs. He's leaving mid-sentence to high-five the boys, and it was real like Jimmy Maloney vibes. It was that sort of interview. It's a great two-minute watch if you stumble across it.
You got to love that. What a turnaround for Big SJ too. I put in, if anyone wants to read the article, I've snipped a little screen grab of a group chat I'm in where I've basically told SJ he was washed, not told him to his face, obviously. I'm not that keen, but said SJ's washed. That was last week against the Dogs. Within about a minute, he scores a try, and I reckon he scored about 180 points since that moment. So you're welcome, SJ, and your prospective owners, but it's basically 2016 again.
Take me back to SJ in his prime, halfback 5'8". Just playing around with Thursto. Those were the days.
What a strange year it is. But anyhow, it brings us to round six, and there's a fair bit of carnage. You, I reckon, will be a busy man this week on your Twiddle, because there's a fair bit of ins and potential outs and all this stuff going on. Some bombshells dropped at team list news as well. This pod, we're going to go a little bit high level with some of the news. We'll go through the highlights of team list Tuesday, and then we're going to fill the back end with a lot of trade talk through each position, who we're liking, who we're not liking, some of the movers and shakers there, trade ins and outs, and then we'll finish with caps. So it's going to be a content heavy one for the back end. Going to go a little bit light on teams. Before we go on, anything that really caught your eye last week?
The Broncos 5-0, baby, first time for a long time. So if we go back to the intro song, maybe this will be our year, finally.
Yeah, well, it as you know, there's those April premiers, or although it's March, you haven't even gotten into April games yet, but March premiers, you just know they're a guaranteed thing. So I would book those grand final tickets now, mate. Have you thought about it?
Oh, it's always back of the mind.
You know what I did last year? Booked the when Cows made the prelim final, I thought I'm going to go and book grand final accommodation just in case through booking.com, whatever, and you go and you can cancel it for free. Was one of the most heartbreaking things to do, though, on Saturday morning post-loss to go and cancel my shitty, by-the-hour motel that I'd booked. But anyhow, I would recommend any Bronco fan get in there before accommodation gets ridiculous. But no, I mean, my thing is the turnaround. So Nathan Cleary, popular trade out to try and get Nico last week, ends up outscoring him pretty, I think it was 20 points in the end. But either way, it just goes to reiterate, Nico and Cleary are the halves that you want to carry through the rest of the year. And not only that, but like there's just so much variability in second row and front row and even center wings. It is, I think, as we've said, a pretty crazy year.
Yeah, there were a lot of guns firing last round. You mentioned Cleary and Hines. We had Turbo cracked a ton. Reece Walsh was 1 point shy. Jacob Preston cracked a ton. There was a lot of good captaincy choices.
Certainly
was. You couldn't really go wrong with any of them, to be honest.
I did like the Nico updates. I did have the captaincy on him, as a lot of people did. But, if you go on Turbo, if you went Cleary, whoever, you've done pretty handily. Reece Walsh, who we'll talk about a bit later. Yeah, everyone in those backline positions is firing at the moment. So, anyhow, all right, let's get into the round six Teamless Tuesday news. Again, just need a proper news soundbite. I have thrown the gauntlet out. Anyone that wants to give me some soundbites to use, please feel free. As we said, we're going to go through a little bit high level this round. So first kicking off, Melbourne and the Roosters Thursday night in Melbourne. Big in for the Storm is Jerome Hughes coming back. Unfortunately, pushes Jonah Pezze all the way to the extended reserves. A lot of people sort of bought him in, made about 90-odd K last week. Unfortunately, hasn't picked up the utility spot. So moving on out and probably not going to make much cash. I might need a bit of a quick move on from him. For the Chooks, Joey, one of them, has finally landed the fullback spot in Tedesco's absence, and that's Manu. So he goes there. Suali'i stays on the edge. No other real changes for them. Terrell May coming onto the bench for Nofuhu White. Quickly on that one, anything else catch your eye?
No, nothing too crazy, but that Teddy concussion concerns me with his history, so hopefully no lingering symptoms there. Manu is an interesting one if Teddy does miss more than one game, but very hard to know at this stage.
It is, and a pretty hefty break even for Big Joey, 146. So he stands to lose a ton of cash this week. So, but one to keep an eye out on, and as you love saying, one for draft.
I don't think he'd be floating on waivers if that's what you're getting at.
you never know. Have a quick look. Next up, Good Friday game. This is always a cracker. Dogs and Rabbitohs, Acor Stadium, 4 o'clock on Friday. Dogs, they're trying to scramble a team together. They just go from one injury to the other. For them, Jacob Preston is named despite picking up, I think it was a hand injury, into Max King's eye. So they're both named.
I could not believe that. Kingy's eye was looking like Sloth out of the Goonies about 2 minutes after that happened. I thought he was gone. And you've already cracked the seal on draft, so I'm happy to mention now.
Go
need
for
a safe captaincy in my home league. Whacked it on Kingy. Real disappointed. And then he just came back sort of Paul Pierce style out of the tunnel and got me up by 10 points. So long live the king on that one. Thank you.
Heroic effort, and he's back out there. And, I mean, the good thing with this game is it's so early in the round, so, I mean, majority of classic players would be Preston owners, so keep an eye on Stasi's mailbag. Harrison Edwards, not in Supercoach, but named at lock to make his debut. Had a quick look at some of his stats from New South Wales Cup. Has been playing around 60 minutes a game at lock, throwing a few offloads, so could be a handy little acquisition as long as RFM is out. On the bench, you got Tanner and Torpany who are filling in. But, yeah, in terms of firepower up front, there's really not a lot going for them. Still no Vili Kikau either. So Dogs are hanging on, and big win last week. One name on the bench that was interesting was Andrew Davey. Hasn't played a hell of a lot. I think he played one game in the New South Wales Cup. Only concern there is that he is an experienced head that could take Jacob Preston's spot. Any thought to that end?
I think it'd be pretty rough for Preston to lose any game time to anyone at the moment, unless his hand's still in a few pieces. But he's just absolutely electric.
No, absolutely flying at the moment. Although Doggies don't have a two utility bench this week. They've got Josh Reynolds. They don't have Ockenbore, who's out suspended. So three forwards on the bench. So might eat into some time there, or just be an indication that they're a little bit concerned with some of those forwards and their healthiness. To the Bunnies, and one change for them, Alex Johnson out through concussion protocols. He's replaced by Tane Milne for his first game. Tevita Totola back in for them as well to provide some firepower up front. I guess the big Supercoach move there is you got Cheekam, who was a relatively popular cheapie, been churning out 40s and 50s for fun. He's now in the extended reserve, so loses any hope at this stage of making much cash, but he's been that annoying guy that I don't own that just seems to keep kicking on. I think Wilf owns him. But yeah,
I think he does, or did. Don't know if he still has him, but he definitely started with him.
Yeah, and you've still got Jacob Host in the starting second row spot. So just holding it down until Jai Arrow comes back. Any word on the big Arrow?
I haven't seen much about him recently, to be honest. So might have to do a bit of digging while we talk through the teams.
There you go. Here we go. Hopefully I'm saying that. Yeah, it's one of many, mate. Hopefully I'm saying that a bit more than I was on the plane Sunday afternoon. Like, if there's one place you don't want to throw your phone to get angry, it's on the plane. But I was very tempted post-Golden Point loss. Anyhow, new week, new game, Cowboys and the Dolphins. Cows, for us, it's a very makeshift side. Scotty Drinkwater comes back in. Not a moment too soon to fill the fullback spot, pushing Tommy Chester, fortunately for owners, to the bench. So he's filling the pine with Jake Granville. Strange old rotation.
That's a bizarre bench.
Look, Jakey Granville, whether he's got photos or whatever, or Toddy Payton just wants to relive 2015 over and over like I do, still liking him there. So for the time being, he's our guy. Mitch Dunn and Ruben Cotter fill the prop positions. Had a quick look at Cotter's percentage ownership. He's still floating around, I think, the 7 or 8% mark. So still a bit of love if you've held on over the last couple of weeks while he's been out with a knee concern. But potentially rushed back in given some of the carnage we've got. And then Griffin Neame, second row debut for him. Interesting one. He played through a lot of big minutes last week, but still got a little bit of a high break even. He's got a low break even of 1, but with Nane coming back next week is surely just a temporary move. And then, not much else. It's a very makeshift side. Riley Price gets his second game. For the Finns, I was thinking on the plane home, actually, Katoa is now going to have to shirk a lot of the work, shoulder, I should say, a lot of the work now that Milf is gone, Wilf's boy. But Cody Nikorima, pretty handy replacement to have despite the age. He's back, as is Edric Lee, to fill in for, unfortunately, Jack Bostock, who's in and out in the space of a week. Not much else doing for the Finns there. But how do you reckon Katoa and Nikorima goes? I assume Katoa takes the majority of the ball.
Yeah, you'd have to think so. Nikorima's always been more of that running sort of guy. He really is that utility mold where he's not an out-and-out half or hooker or that kind of thing. So I think Katoa's just going to lead him around the park and Nikorima will chime in with a few runs here and there.
Mm. And Katoa's not too, in terms of money, he's not too shabby in terms of what he's done. I don't own him, but he's made around 70K Verona's thus far and hasn't really had a huge game. So could be due one here against a pretty makeshift cow side. Big Bad Barry's happy for Penrith and Manly on Saturday afternoon at Bluebet Stadium. So big name, obviously, and potential captain Nathan Cleary. Not a lot else changing with the Panthers side. Matt Eisenhuth is in for the injured James Fisher-Harris. And Sonny Luke returns after missing the last couple of games with concussion, pushing Tyron Peachy out of the side. So I guess big news there is that Sorensen and Hosking are the two starting second rowers. Still no sign of Liam Martin or Luke Garner. Any news on either of them?
Well, you'd actually almost want to see them around this week with Hosking being on the bubble, so you get some sense of that pecking order. But I was expecting both back sort of this week or thereabouts. So to see neither of them named, that's quite interesting.
I mean, good news for Hosking is negative 55 break even. So I traded him in last week, actually relatively happy with how that went, although it was looking dicey. Scotty Sorensen was setting up tries and Hosking found a late one to boost his score. But both of them looked pretty settled, as you would in a 50-point win. But yeah, I mean, you kind of want Sorensen to take a bit of a back seat if you're a Hosking owner or prospective one this week. For Sonny Luke, I mean, what do you expect out of him? So he's a break-even of 42, priced at 258K. HIA game the last time he stepped out. But in terms of what he can produce on the field, he looks like one of those guys that'll get 30 minutes and score 50.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those eye test players. And we just haven't been able to really see him get going through this concussion and the bye and that kind of thing. He had that really good first game and then was a little bit average in the second one, and then we had to wait a week, and he's really tough to predict. And low minute game because of that concussion, he's a bit of a tease.
Certainly is, but if you've still got him in your side, plenty of cash still to be made ahead of him. We saw that first round try, great stuff. And then Matt Eisenhuth, always loved picking this guy up on waivers. Your draft boy, he's there for starting prop, I assume, for the next couple of weeks in Fisher's absence. So keep an eye on him. I've skipped over Manly. I've gone too early with the woo. Do we even need to talk? Apologies to all Manly fans. AJW, shout out, fan or site. Friend of the site. For Manly, Jason Saar plays his first game in quite a while, coming back from a knee injury. So he replaces Tui Pilotu, who's out of the side, and Carl Lawton in on the bench is the only other change for them. One interesting name is Aaron Woods in jersey 22. Oh, so, I mean, I didn't think I'd... he's shopped around a fair bit, Woodsy, but only issue I thought was potentially Sean Kepi's position could be in a little bit of danger with that naming. But between Bullimore and Kepi, I thought in terms of NRL they've been really good.
Yeah, they've definitely been doing a job. I think Jason Saab's quite interesting in a Manly side that has Tom Tabojevic in it. Horrible floor, but pretty decent ceiling. If he can crack seven tries, he might break the ton, but it's always a chance when Tommy's actually lining up. So interested to see how he goes.
He's kind of that Charlie Staines. They have a 14 and then a 15, and then everyone would bin him or just put him on their non-playing reserves and he'd come out and score 150. So who knows? Fresh back from knee injury, though, would be just on the watch list for the time being at 405K. Decently cheap way to get into that Manly backline if Turbo stays healthy. So keeping an eye on him. Only other news there, Ben Trbojevic is out of the side. Real bad news for his 7,000 owners. There you go.
7,000?
Yep. A lot of people, probably round one sides, never to return. Anyhow. Broncos will take 5 minutes. They've got the exact same friggin' side they've had for the last 5 weeks. And another home game. Who'd have thought? There you go.
6-0. Don't need to change it, mate.
Jordan Pereira on the bench, on the reserve. So there you go. Don't change a winning formula. You honestly, March premiers, congratulations. You never fail. It's like the horse that runs out in front in a 2,000-meter race. I mean, just guaranteed dub. So congratulations, Broncos. For Canberra, how's this name?
I can taste that salt through the screen, mate.
I reckon I was sadder when the Finns lost than the Cows were. I was more heartbroken. I just can't, yeah. Anyway, well done, Broncos. Jared Croker, how's this for the milk? Making his
return.
That
made me so happy seeing him named.
Would you go near him at 280K?
Absolutely not. And for some of the potentially newer listeners, you've got a bit of a history with Croker.
Oh, boy, yeah. I think I've told this story every single year, but fresh off an ACL surgery on crutches at Cloudland Hotel in Brisbane, or hotel, whatever it is. It's a relatively fancy bar. Hey, mate, can you come over and get a photo with me? And then on his way over, hobbling horribly, some other girl from work runs and trips him over. I'm just staring down at this prone Jared Croker thinking I've ruined his career. And in fairness, that was, what, 2018? Never been the same again. So. Right. There you go. Look, Croaks, I'm sorry I did that to you, but yeah, this is your time to shine, mate. Back home in Brisbane where it all happened, I'm rooting for you, mate.
I'm going to check and see if he's got any tape around his wrists and see if he's got any messages for you on there.
Do it for Chussie. Please, there you go. But a fallen gun from yesteryear, but who knows? SJ's winding back the clock. It could be Croaks' turn here. Another halves pairing for them. They got Brad Schneider, the big Schneider. He's back for his first game. Good cheapie last season, filling in for Matt Frawley, who's out with a hand injury. Still 1 week away for Jack Fighton serving his suspension. The other one is Corey Horsburgh and Corey Harawira Naira swapping places, 13 and 17 respectively. Not sure what that does for the horse, but I assume just Ricky wants a bit of extra weight out there in those early stages.
Yeah, and it could be just Ricky being Ricky and we might see it swap on game day. But he's sort of stuck firm with teams as named, so who knows at this stage. Saw an article that he's going to be cleaning house soon that doesn't include himself, so interesting times at the Raiders ahead.
What did he put on at the Eels? He put a white, like an overhead projector up with all the cuts. Very Homer Simpson style there, Ricky. Yeah. Never change. Alrighty, Sunday, Easter Sunday, Gold Coast Titans and Dragons. A couple of enigma sides. They didn't play that long ago. I think it was round one or round two. They played and Dragons towered up the Titans. So, yeah, not sure what to make of this one, but Jaden Campbell fills in at the back for AJ Brimson and Toby Sexton, sexy man himself, comes in for Kieran Foran. So probably not ideal for Dave Fifita. I had a quick look and Jaden Campbell's made about 6 tries in the last year and a half. So in terms of ball playing, not a huge amount there. And Toby Sexton, I think, rarely got the ball at all to Fifita, but I think playing on opposite sides this year, so who knows? It needs to go to Fifita, basically. He's got an average of like 83 against the Dragons, so with any luck for owners, he continues to get decent ball. Isaac Fasua Malawi is on the reserves or the bench in jersey 16, playing his third game, got a -3 break even. One interesting name, Cruz Leeming. So he's newly signed to the Titans, trying to get some coverage for you've got Chris Randall in there at the moment, Aaron Clark, but you've lost Sam Verrill. So not sure what to make of this guy. You're the mailman. Any word on Leeming and what he brings?
No word, mate. The first time I saw his name was reading your team's analysis, to be honest. So
there you go. Apparently good raps on him from the Super League. But yeah, we've seen how that doesn't necessarily translate. So keep an eye on him. Although no one's Supercoach, you'll start at like 500K or something hideous. So probably not one to be considered. For the Dragons, a relatively settled side for them. The only change, Jacob Little and Moses Mbaya swap positions. Little starts, Moses sits on the bench. So, you don't change a winning formula. One name I've kept an eye on, Jack Bird. Have you been eyeing this guy off at all? Center wing, 500K?
Yes, I've got him in draft. He got benched a couple of weeks ago in favour of Musgrove, just seemingly out of nowhere, and that got rectified last week and he pumped out a 70-something. So if he can be assured to stay there, he's definitely an interesting one and sort of harkens back to your edge sort of middle players you can play at centre wing of yesteryear. Ceiling's probably a bit capped, but pretty safe floor. Personally, I'd probably look at some higher upside center wings, but he's definitely not the worst out and he's a reasonable price.
Yep. A bit of stability in your second row, although who knows what Hook will do week to week. But as you said, second row center wings of yesteryear. I just thought Simon Mannering, what a man, what a player. And Tohu for that brief period. Ben Murdoch-Masila finally got a decent score last week, playing 80. That was helped along by Suaz's injury mid-game, calf injury. He's been named, but any Murdoch-Masila owners Got to be happy. He's got a 6 break even, making some cash. Finally, been a long time, but he's there. So looking, like he should make a couple of decent rises. Should beat that break even of 6, you'd imagine. But we'll see. Stranger things. And I think I ask you a trivia question each week, but who do you reckon is the Dragons' second highest Supercoach scorer for 2023?
Second highest?
Mm.
Who's ben the Hunt. Highest ben in context?
Hunt is ben the Hunt. Highest, and this guy is 1 point behind him.
I'm going to say Ravalawa.
Nope, you would be wrong. It would be a forward by the name of Blake Laurie, who is averaging 67 points a game. Had to double check that one, but he's scoring meaties for fun, and he's got a break even of 30. So there you go. He's named in the middle again. Dragons, not a lot of firepower off that bench, and big Blake Laurie. What an enigma of a side when he is your second highest averaging. Where's Zach Lomax? Where's Rava? Don't know, but they're a strange side, the old Drags. Second last game here, Knights and the Warriors. Not sure what to make of this, both in pretty good form of late. So for the Knights, Lachie Miller manages to hold down the fullback spot for another week, but I hear rumblings that 1K Ponga is due back. Any word?
Yeah, I've heard the same. He sounds like he's potentially not too far off, so have to imagine it's Phoenix Crossland who makes way out of that side. But stranger things have happened. Though Lockie, he's been playing great. You'd be real hard done by if he gets dislodged.
I guess the only thing is if they park Ponga at the back again, just to hide him out of the defensive line. That was the the talk of round one when he was named there, and we all saw what happened. So whether or not they just decide to put him at the back, but either way, he's a risk. I think every time he goes out there, but I think Lachie Miller owners, you can breathe easy for at least another week until that conundrum hits probably round 7. But yeah, he's absolutely flying. As is Dom Young and Greg Marju, who have both been named again in that combination. Heimel Hunt all the way back in the extendeds. Phoenix Crossland in for the injured Tyson Gamble, the concussed Tyson Gamble, who was flying up until last week. So for them, other one is Jack Johns. I thought might get bumped back to the bench for the returning Kurt Mann, but Mann's in 14. Johns retains a 13 jersey and's got a pretty decent break even of negative 30-something, I think, negative 36. So a bit of cash there. What would you be doing with Johnsy?
I think he's got trap written all over him, to be honest. Looked great in real life action, but he's just as likely to get benched for Man this like on game day or next week. And I think there's a bit of risk around him, particularly when you've got sort of guys like Schuster around the same price point on the bubble who you can play at second row. And we'll probably talk a bit about it later, but there's for the position where we have a lot of players at second row, it's real hard to fit them all in at the moment. So someone you might have to let pass.
Certainly is trap material. Onto the Warriors. They've got one or a couple of changes here. Tamari Martin is back in for Ronald Volkman. So Murray was out with was a concussion last week. He's back straight in. Bailey Sirenen comes in to replace the suspended Nyokora. So he's in at second row for a couple of weeks. Tohu, a name that was scratched last week. He's been named at lock. So again, it's a late game, so please keep an eye on any late mail and keep an ace up your sleeve. And name on the bench that I thought was surprising, Dallin Watene Zalesniak in 18. So can't quite crack a winning side at this point. But, yeah, pretty powerful name to see on the pine. Otherwise, anything to love about this Warriors side, apart from basically Sean Johnson's renaissance, how good Jackson Ford's been, Jazz Tavunga going ballistic off the bench, Josh Curran winning them the game last year with a weird penalty. Last week, I should say. A lot going right. Dylan Walker, what's going
CNK.
On?
CNK.
CNK, yep. Langy or Wennen, I should say, traded him out last week against my wishes. I've now traded CNK in. It's a strange time.
Yeah, the Warriors have looked absolutely fantastic. Real happy for him, like I said last week. Just, I think anytime the Warriors are playing well, it's a feel-good story for the NRL, particularly after the last few seasons that they've had and the challenges they've faced.
Certainly have. Should be everyone's second team. But and Wade Egan, sorry, I didn't mention him, break even a 19. Oh, cannot stop finding the line.
Yeah, he's allergic to not scoring tries. He just can't. He can't stop.
It is absolutely absolutely ridiculous.
And while I think of it, mate, just to go back to the Knights, otherwise I'll forget, for anyone worried about Hymel Hunt lurking, Barry Tui, the GOAT of Newcastle Knights mail, said that Marju and Dom Young are both ahead of him at the moment. So anyone looking to bring one of those in can breathe easy.
Should need it. We need a Barry Tui soundbite on this pod. The woo probably does him justice, the big fella. Rounding out the round is a Tigers-Eels game, which threw up a pretty interesting result last season. Who knows what'll happen this year, but Tigers have rung the changes yet again. Charlie Staines back at fullback, Kapoa on the wing, Naden back in, missing through illness last week. Keep saying that. Startoa at centre, so they're basically completely new backline. Adam Dewey at 5'8". Who else we got? Joe O makes his first appearance on the bench for quite some time, and Sean Blore as well. Brandon Wakeham, that experiment lasted about 2.5 games, but he's out. The big one, Adam Dewey, maybe we save that chat for later, but I think the way to highlight and just frame the Tigers at the moment is get off the ship. If you own any of these people in Supercoach, I think just blow them up, delete, get rid of them.
Can't argue with that.
Very good.
The changes are just wild. And I think to sum it up, I saw something just before we came on about their Anzac jersey featuring an American soldier and chopper or some controversy around that. So
right.
Can't take a trick at the moment, the poor old Tigers.
All good things. I made Orange Tips doing great stuff at the helm there. How good. Parramatta, though, they could throw up a dreadful game and get the Tigers off the duck. But for them, a couple of interesting ones here. The big one that we'll talk about is Jermaine Hopgood bumped to the bench for the returning Sean Lane at second row, and you got Ryan Madison at lock. So I expected that would happen, but it's come to fruition. And the Cardi party, he just lives on, will not stop. Matty Dury back on the extended reserves, probably better than having Hopgood, who's going to come off the bench, so we'll chat about that. And then Sean Russell comes in for the dropped Wonga Blake all the way back in jersey 22, and Hayes Dunster comes in for Simonson, who's out for a couple of weeks. I guess the big one there is what they've done in the forwards, but just having a look at Hayes Dunster, 230K, been named on the extenders a few weeks now, gets his shot, I think is a decent chance to make that jersey his own. What's your read?
Yeah, well, he was one of those players in the preseason who was there or thereabouts for that position, and I think everyone had him in their side at some stage as a cheapie. So he's a definite watch if he can lock down that spot at that price, particularly since a couple of our centre wing cheapies who actually started the season will probably be peaking around that time as well. So very keen to see how Dunster goes in this side. And the other thing as well is the Eels' draw is about to start really opening up after a pretty tough start. So there could be a few stars aligning here at our centre wing positions.
I like it. The Dunster thing, if he gets two games here, by the time Simonson's due back, we'll know, he'll be on the bubble for that third week. So it sort of really does set himself up pretty nicely. So looking forward to seeing how he goes. All right, we made it through teams list. We're half an hour in, pretty good timing. We'll go to a quick break, come back with all the trade in and out talk for the round.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I was going to say, it's a relatively peaceful one because the trucks have stopped going past. I was telling you off air, I'm like, if you hear just trucks every 2 minutes, it's because I'm in Dolby. Haven't heard anything weird out in Roma way. Do you get foxes? What do you get out in Roma?
Not a whole lot, mate.
Probably a good pub feed. Out this way, you can't go wrong anywhere you go, and probably a cheap beer too. inflation doesn't seem to make its way out this direction. All right, Stolzy, trade ins and outs. How about we start with the big news we skipped over just before, but Parramatta, some changes there that have big Supercoach implications. Starting with the trade outs, what do you reckon? Jermaine Hopgood, break even of 40, back to the extend or the bench, I should say. What do you see in terms of minutes, and is it time now to cash in?
After his massive start, he has definitely come back to the realms of normalcy in the last couple of weeks. And I guess going back to the bench doesn't help it. Rotation-wise, we saw what Matto did off the bench last year. So there's a reality where you could see Matto switch to an edge during the game, and then Hopgood comes on and just plays out the match like Matto did last year. But there's a lot of question marks. And in a round where we're trying to bring in your Hoskins and to a lesser extent your Schusters and that, I alluded to before, second row is actually pretty hard to make moves because a lot of the cheaper guys like Preston and Ford and that, they've still got a lot of money to make. And then you've probably got one gun in there like a Murray or a Fifita, Katoa from the Storm still doing good. And Dury doesn't cost a lot of money. You've got to start looking at places where you can bring some of these guys in with massive break-evens. And this just might be the tipping point for old Hopgood. The shame of it is, one, he's playing really well. And two, the Eels have that great buy coverage. They play all the major buy rounds, and he should, you'd have to imagine, I don't know if he's a chance at Origin, but
Queensland. Yeah.
Yes, it just depends where they can fit him in, but it'll probably be there or thereabouts, who knows. But, I think he's going to be potentially a reluctant chopping block player for me this round.
Yeah, it was interesting. If he had have stayed in that lock role, and we knew it might not happen with Matto coming back, but his points per minute was just insane. A couple of things, I guess. He's a rookie, so whether he could have kept that up the entire year would have been, remained to be seen. But he was doing a lot of good things. Come back a little bit to the pack over the last couple of rounds, and maybe that's a sign of tiredness or something. But I think I'm kind of with you. Now it's the time to cash in. Might clear his break even, probably won't. We just don't know what's going to happen with that rotation. But done us a good service, filled in beautifully. Now's the time to cash in. Whereas Dury, as you mentioned, the 350-odd K, a break even of around 30. So should he fill in at some stage, he'll potentially make a little bit more cash with some luck. But I don't think is as huge a trade-out target this week. So maybe just in that vein, talking about Hopgood and his number one most traded out, who are you going to and why?
Hosking. And I think it's a pretty clear why. Massive negative break-even, has looked phenomenal. Martin, the ghost of Martin and Garner will be lingering, but just given his form, if you're picking a side based on that, he's got to be the starting edge player.
Yep. I mean, I thought
he'd make 100K doing that as well, which is wild.
Exactly. And all these early rounds, we always talk about being cash gen kind of weeks, and this is a great chance here to capitalize on a guy. Hopgood's made 250 grand. Hosking, with any luck, makes 100 and 150. Over the next few weeks. We don't quite know what will happen, as you said, with Martin and Garner and everything else there. But in terms of the eye test, been killing it. And I think definitely outplayed Luke Garner in the short sample size that we've got. So if you're going to go, it's just on second row here. So Hosking, obviously, pretty high up there. Looking around at some of the other more expensive options, and in terms of averages, Koloa Matangi, Fifita, Nikora, and Josh King, probably the ones that are sitting in that top five, top six at the moment. Out of those guys, I don't own any of them. Is there one name standing out above the pack for you?
Well, I think Koloa Matangi, even though he had a 58's still good. And the Bunnies draw is about to open up really nicely. So I think he'd probably be top of the pack. Having said, Nikora has been absolutely blitzing it. Of late, I think Josh King just keeps on keeping on. And I was thinking about this last week. Him and Maxi King were good, great cheapies for us last year. And this year they both look like keepers at this stage. But, I'd probably have to imagine I'd like a season-long Koloa Matangi and Nikora, however they are a lot more expensive.
So outside of Fifita, you reckon those two guys above him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've got Fifita, so I'm probably he's not forefront of my mind, but I think throw a dart at this stage, to be honest. They're all sort of there or thereabouts average wise, so just look at the draw and see what one looks more appealing.
I mean, Fifita, I don't own him, but it's got Dragons, Broncos, Dolphins over the next 3 weeks. So a couple of home games there. One's an Arvo game. I think it's a Friday night one against the Bronx. Not sure about Finns, but
it's a Saturday because I'll be at that match on a Bucks night. So.
Giddy on up, mate. Is that the Bronx game?
Yeah, at Seabus. Yep.
Look out. You're a well-travelled gentleman these days, getting definitely in and infecting us all with your COVID from Roma, but there you go. No, I think a couple of big weeks ahead. The only thing that would give me pause would be, we spoke about it, Toby Sexton and Jaded Campbell potentially affecting how the ball gets distributed at the Titans. So that would be one worry for me. Kieran Foran and him have linked really well. AJ Brimson, the Roma, he's been really good for them. But yeah, I mean, for me, Fifita in that side, we say it every single time, best player, give him the ball, doesn't happen. But I think right edge Fifita is a different beast so far this season. Have you seen anything you didn't like?
Oh, he's definitely looked busier. Like you said, that like if we're talking about all those forwards, again, he's in the worst current spine out of all of them. So a couple of question marks around that. He's always an enigma, isn't he?
Mm. He is, but every time I don't own him, it's always a worry going into games. So I'd probably rather have his name in there sooner rather than later. And thankfully, Hopgood's going to give me the cash to do it. Not sure whether it'll be this week or next, but keen to have him in the side. A couple of other ones. Jazz Tavunga, if he was in there for any prolonged period of time, a name I would love. He just gets through so much work. He's just an absolute PPM beast. 70 last week. He's got an average of 67 coming off the bench pretty much the whole time. So if Tohu was out for any long-term reason, that would be a name I would look at. But otherwise, Homole Olokuwatu, one that I'm keeping an eye on, 660-odd K, relatively sizable break even by his standard 60, so not going to go anywhere. But I just think he's building now that Turbo DCE combination's played a few games together. He's one I'm keen to look at over the coming weeks. Any others that I haven't spoken about?
Looking at that list, like Murray had after we talked on classic. Or talked him down last week, rather, responded to that with an 88.
The Supercoach Report curse rears its ugly head, yep.
Then you got Patrick Carrigan's been a bit of a letdown this season. I started with him as just my homer pick and hasn't really kicked on. Outside of your top boppers, it kind of drops off from there, eh? Like, there's a few speculative ones you could go to, but there's not really a clear cut where you say, like, you've got to have this fella in.
Yep.
Like, I reckon you need to have a gun, but which one? Like, you couldn't definitively say it's got to be player X or Y or whatever. It's a pretty open position at the moment.
Alrighty, let's turn away from second row and move down to the halves. I think we saw last week Cleary and Hines is the combination that you want basically for the run to round 27. Is there any disagreement there at this stage? Anyone else that's sort of worthy of conversation?
Sam Walker had a good score. He actually outscored Hines last week, and obviously I traded Walker to Hines, so he's quietly putting together a pretty good season. But as for your end game, it's definitely Cleary-Hines. Like, there's no other two-player combo you'd want to have as your halves outside of one Sean Johnson.
Oh, flying. Absolutely flying. Comfortably the top point scorer in halfback.
Yeah, I'm looking at that now. It's so just total points scored, obviously not taking into account buys and everything that Hines and Cleary have had, and Hines obviously missed some time. Sean Johnson 1, Adam Reynolds 2 for total points scored.
What is this year? It is 2016. One, actually, you mentioned you traded out old mate to Hines last week, Walker, and he outscored him. Actually, I traded out Ben Hunt to Nico. 103 versus 102. I lost a point on that trade. So damn you, Ben Hunt.
Ben Hunt's just haunting you this season.
Honestly. And he's playing the Titans daytime game at CBUS. So who knows? And Hines has got the bye. Silly JT, but anyway, live and learn. I think that's where we sort of leave that one. But 5'8 is probably of more interest, and it's a really tough one so far this season. No one's quite kicking on. Cam Munster's comfortably ahead of the rest of the pack, the likes of Dylan Brown and that kind of thing. In terms of a combination or someone that you're eyeing off, do you think Munster's done enough to make him a, I guess, not urgent trade-in, but someone you've got to really target over the next couple of weeks?
The longer you leave Munster, the closer you get to that origin period. So it feels like if you really want him, you kind of either started with him and stuck with him, or you brought him in when he came back, because the longer you leave it, the less value you're going to get out of him, and you're probably going to have to move him on during that origin period. So players I'm sort of looking at is Dylan Brown. Had a couple of down weeks, but he's got that phenomenal bye coverage, and their draw is going to open up soon, as we've spoken about. Bit of a smoky play. Cody Walker, for when the Bunnies draw opens up a bit, when he bottoms out in price, could be worth a bit of a look based on his form at the time. And outside of that, it's not a great position at the moment.
It's absolutely not. You got Ezra Mamm up there, Jackson Hastings, Matty Burton, bit of a checkered, obviously turned it on last week. Big Tommy Dearden, who could forget him? But I think the reason I brought up 5'8", Adam Dewey is still obviously quite popular and clogging up a lot of people's sides. We've said how just get rid of all your Tigers players, but a break even of 67 this week, I'd almost be looking elsewhere and just hanging on for one more week. Dewey's got the bye next round, so you just have to get one decent stint out of him against Parra, and then you get another week to look at some 5'8s, whether it's Munster, Brown, whoever. No one's really going anywhere in this position, so I think Dewey, if you were to frame him, is probably not a must trade, I would say, this week if you've got second rowers and all that kind of thing elsewhere. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. If you've held him this long, you might as well just see how he goes against Parramatta. I'm in that boat. I've just had more urgent issues than him. Averaging low 50s, which is definitely below what we thought, but it's not the worst case, I guess, and hopefully moving him back to his preferred position might spark him a little bit. And as that toe continues to heal, hopefully we get one last hurrah before that bye round and, like you said, see what's happening in the landscape at 5'8" when that time comes.
Let's move down a position to center wing. And a surprising name on here, Hamiso Tabuai-Vaiodau, on number 2, traded out this week. He's got a 49 break even coming up against the Cowboys. We are hanging on in terms of players that we've got available. We did only give up 3 tries last week, and I think it was 3 the week before, so some improvement. But the hammer time coming up against the old side, this is a week to hang on to him, I think. 49 break even, as I've said, still got a little bit of room to grow, I reckon. But I was surprised to see him so highly traded out. What's your read there?
Well, I traded him out last week for Garrick, and I'm not unhappy with that. He's done a really good job as a cheapie, probably better than what we expected of him in the beginning of the season, where he started very strong when the concern was he was going to be Charlie Staines and not actually go anywhere. He's made 160K for us, which has been great. I think if you're looking at someone like Imaju or players like that, I think he's definitely worth moving on. I think we've seen what he can do at his best at the moment, so I'm not against cashing him out. It can wait a week for sure, like you said, but I think his time's sort of come to a close in our sides, whether it's this week or in the next one or two.
I kind of just think he's a really big play this round. I don't know, it's sort of against the own side and whatever, but I just think he's going to come with a really good attitude and just somehow find the line. He might score 2. I don't know. I just think he's a good shout for me this week. The other one was Paul Alamotti, and he's the one that I'm moving on for Marju, as you've mentioned. But Alamotti scoring okay at 40s and that kind of thing, but looks probably at not his peak, but probably not going to go too far in the not too distant future. So for me, probably an easier move on. I don't see the upside with him. So I'm moving him on, and as I said, number 3, most traded out. talking about the trade-ins, we mentioned Marju. Anyone else? I guess we can spend a little bit of time on Marju, but anyone else to bring into the conversation?
I think it's Marju or us this week at the position. I think some people might be tempted by Dom Young's 150-something, but just a reminder, it did take him 4 tries to get there, whereas Marju got 102 with 1 try. So I think he's definitely the horse to bet on in that Knights back line. Outside of that, just purely based on break even, it's got to be Marju. Like, Garrick's an interesting option. I brought him in last week. Thought he was going to go a little bit better, but his break even's still pretty high, and he's got Panthers Storm back to back before a better trot of the Tigers and Titans, so that can probably wait. Marju or bust for me this week, I reckon. Is there anyone you've seen, mate? I know you're a big fan of Lachie Miller, and we were talking about Jackson Barlow last week, who just keeps on keeping on as well, but has obviously gone up in price accordingly again. Campbell Graham might be interesting again as the Bunnies draw opens up a bit.
Maybe one Karaz, another name I don't own, but Karaz Miller, who else? Campbell Graham, as you've said. Nick Meaney doing good things, not sure where. Pappy is a couple of weeks away, I suspect, or more. Reuben Garrick, there's a lot of really good names at that top end of the price tag. But I think, as you've said, Marju, huge negative break even. Decent price at 580K. And you think about some of the plotters we've had at centre wing. Brian To'o is on my flick out list this round. He's been pretty good without being great. And that's not what you need out of a 600K centre wing. You need some upside. Marju, the Knights will stink it up on their day. But so far, in the last couple of rounds when he's been in there, everything's going his way. So I did actually get corrected in my team's analysis. I thought Dom Young played on the right edge last week. I do recall a kick going that way and a few other things, but someone said he played on the left. I can't quite recall. Is that right? Not that
I don't recall, to be honest. I just remember watching tries for days.
Absolutely. Obviously stuff that one up. But, yeah, I think either or in terms of those guys, if you jumped on Marju early, the world's your oyster because you have a wealth of options that I can't afford. But no, Karaz, if I could trade in anyone, and it didn't matter about price or whatever, Karaz was the guy. I don't own him, and he's just pumping out 70s without scoring. In terms of a winger, that is like top of the line. That's Supercoach gold, right?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what you want. I didn't mention him because I assumed a lot of people had, brought him in. But if you don't have him, he's got to be at or near the top. Based on break evens, you'd probably have to go Marju first, but he's just out and out absolute weapon.
Kieran, still only 23% owned. I think like a lot of people are probably in the same boat. I had many, many fires to fix before I could look at such a luxury trade like him or Lachie Miller. But those that started well, you reap the rewards because you can really bring these guys in as and when their price starts to rise. I think Reuben Garrick, Kieran, Lachie Miller, if he stays at fullback, these three guys will be in pretty much every side come the end of the year when we've all got the money to afford. But yeah, absolute premiums for the time being. And Mulitalo probably in that conversation as well. He's been really strong with Hines coming back. Can be a bit hot and cold, but so far it's so good for him. So won't play Origin, decent coverage. So one I'm keenly following as well. Just to have a look, we spoke a few traps earlier. Jack John's probably high on that list. He's pretty reasonably high up on the trade-in list, though. So in the top 10, 3,000-odd, trading him in, be warned about that. Josh Schuster hasn't played his third game just yet. He missed last week, but he's high up there. I kind of get that. Who else? We've got Isaac Fasua Maleawi. He's negative 3 break-even playing his third game. So these sort of guys, I think, if you're needing to make cash, not a bad shout, but I wouldn't expect much out of them. Are you in the same boat?
Yeah, out of all the names you mentioned, Schuster's probably the most relevant. But even he, like, he's had injury issues in the past. He's had injury issues this season. His base hasn't been amazing. He will get attacking stats. He's got the dual position. But at this stage, I'm not bringing him in because I prefer Marju and Hosking and just don't want to boost for him. He's probably one whose price isn't going to go too far, so you might have to pay a little bit extra maybe next week. I know his break-even's in the negatives, but given his output and he's playing the Panthers, it might not actually move as far as you think, and you might get another look at him. And I'm kind of happy I boosted last week because I can look at some more options than if I had to bring in like a Garrick or someone this week. Not that I'm suggesting doing that, but you know what I mean.
Yep. Agreed. All right, just to round out this chat over trades and stuff, if you could pick two front rowers and two hookers to have in your side right now, who are they?
Who aren't currently in there,
no,
I'm guessing.
No, just who you want, who you would take. Forgetting price, forgetting everything, who are the top two in that position for you?
Front row, Payne Haas, number one, yep. And obviously Blake Laurie, number... No. After that, there's not clear cut. I'm really liking Max King, what he's been doing this season, to be honest. He's been playing massive minutes, but probably just doesn't have the ceiling of the other guys. So I think I'd probably have to lock in someone like a Tino, who's got a pretty good three-round average, or like a, even though he's been a bit down, a Joey Tarpanay or someone like that. Looking at hooker, Harry Grant and insert hooker. he's the top averaging hooker, which is just wild. Very try game, really, so I wouldn't want to rely on that. He's only a few points below the fellas above him, but probably Damien Cook with that draw coming up, I'd probably think is a pretty good shout for some good scores. So probably Grant and Cook if money's no option.
Yeah, I'm with you on two of those, so Payne Haas and Harry Grant. I think out above the pack in terms of their positions. I only own Grant. Payne Haas has been a pain in the Haas not owning him, and he's just flying. What did he get, 47 minutes last week and a 95? Incredible stuff. And
well, that try out a dummy half.
Jesus, poor old Tigers, nothing going right for them. So obviously two of those. The guy for me at hooker, and I've had him since the start of the year, and I'm pretty happy about it, is Reece Robson. I think tackle-wise, he gets through 50 a game. In terms of output, that puts him ahead of Grant and Cook. Probably not the attacking spark of both of them, but he's shown his wares close to the line. So I think in terms of all-rounder, I'm relatively happy with him. But I think, as you said, it's a tough one to pick number two. For hooker, you can kind of throw a dart. But prop, I reckon Tohu Harris. If I was to pick a healthy player and no issues with Tohu, I think dual position and playing good minutes in that Warriors pack. I think Tohu and Payne would round it out. Tarpanay, just one of those guys I've owned since round one, has really not kicked on as we thought, not busting tackles, not offloading. I don't know whether it's a directive from Sticky to not throw it around, but just throw some dumb offloads. Who cares? You lost by 40 last week. Just start doing stuff. I don't know. It's a strange one because he's such a good player on his day, but just not kicking on. Getting beaten by Blake friggin' Laurie. What a year. All right, Stilesy. Captains, we had a quick chat about this off air. We hadn't really put much thought into it, but you've had an hour now. Who are you liking, captain and VC?
Yeah, I think just purely looking at matchups, if you've got Latrell Mitchell kicking around at the back, he's a good VC option. Nathan Cleary, even though it's against Manly, he's got to be looking a good shout at either VC or C. And one you mentioned, mate, in the mighty Broncos, who I actually ironically hadn't thought of, might be a decent shout.
Billy Walters.
Absolutely. Lock him in and throw away the key. Reece Walsh, the one of the most attractive men in football, against a Raiders side in absolutely all sorts, playing the Saturday night game again at Suncorp again. It could be a pretty good shout.
I still think about the 0 points at halftime against the Dragons, though.
Oh, that's terrifying, eh?
Proceed with caution when you put the captaincy armband on him, but I've gone that way too. I think if I'm ever going to break you friggin' Broncos, it's going to be having some super coach implications in it. Reece Walsh, number one, going to break him. You'll probably still win by 40 because Big Bad Billy Walters will outscore him, but that's super coach. The other one, VC Cleary, she said, I think just safe as houses at home. One really big score last week. Hopefully that's a catalyst for a turnaround in form because they've been a little bit quiet. But elsewhere, I mean, Harry Grant, always a good shout. And I'm interested to see how they go against the big cheese. But, yeah, not a lot else really. So I think keep it safe. Go with those guys. Or Greg Marju, new recruit. never like putting it on a winger, but you just never know on their day. And finally, just a quick one on centre wings. I'm trying to toss up a few here. If you were to play, say, Will Warbrick, Khan Pereira, Taruva, the Hammer, putting those four in order, who would you prefer starting with in your centre wings?
Just purely based on matchups and what he's done recently, I don't dislike chucking Khan Pereira in. I know his floor is absolutely atrocious, but and I don't know, now that I'm thinking about new halves pairing and spine and that, but he could go really big against the Dragons. And then outside of that, probably Taruva and then Warbrick.
I'm sort of leaning the same. And I've got the Hammer in Khan Pereira at the moment. So Warbrick's one of those guys, like he's the last 2 weeks having out of the side scored well, have him in, scores terribly. Again, that's bloody super coach. But a lot of outs, I mean, you've got the Sharks on the bye this week and some potential injuries to the likes of Torhu and Preston who are up in the air. So could potentially come down to some of these centre wings. So the lottery resumes for round
six. Don't hate CNK as a play either against Newey.
Love that. New recruit, actually, CNK. As Wenin turfs him out, I bring him in. So there you go, days of our lives. But nonetheless, should be a really cracking round six. Easter weekend, gotta love it. Got COVID last year, had to sit through it. Hopefully, I'm staying away from Roma and I'll be healthy. What are you doing over Easter, mate?
I'm going to the big smokes of Rockhampton.
One exotic place.
My family's from Rocky and Yeppoon, so I'll spend a couple of days by the coast side at Yeppoon and then come back.
I'll claim it. Rocky's North Queensland.
Close enough. Well, if you ask him, yeah, it's pretty much anything north of Brisbane itself. You're getting into Cowboys County, so.
Everywhere's Cowboys country when I'm around, mate. So, Dolby, Cowboys country. Great to speak to you again, mate. 2 weeks in a row. Hopefully, hear Lakey back. He's due in the not-too-distant future. It'll be great to hear his sultry tones on the airwaves again. Looking forward to catching up with him. Alex is floating around somewhere. We'll try to track him down, probably by magic round. He'll resurface. So, really looking forward to that. Not too far away. Thank you for spending your Tuesday night with me, mate. Much appreciated. Any final words of wisdom?
Put me on the spot again. I never have something ready to go. Just play it safe this week. Like you can do a lot of crazy stuff, but it feels to me like there's a few clear cut things to do. So I just try and make those happen.
Follow the crowd, get Blake Laurie, get Jake Turpin, get Billy Walters. Go against the grain, I reckon. That's it for another week. Thanks, Darcy.
Cheers, like Jason. Jesus,
Lakey.
I've got Lakey on the mind now. You got me excited.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.